If you like audiobooks or audio shows, check out a free trial of Audible. Just click the link in the description.
Welcome to Mind Shack. This is Bruce McGuire.
And Maxwell Powers.
And you are listening to Ghost Evidence 2, Lord Cumbermere. And this is one of the most famous cases of ghost photographs that we will be investigating to determine its veracity. Once again, if you like the podcast, you can donate to our PayPal. Just check the link in the description. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell for notifications. If you like the video, hit the like button. Feel free to leave any comments, questions, or requests in the comments section. Make sure to like our Facebook page, and you could also check us out on Twitter, Reddit, and Patreon. All right, Maxwell, so in the time since episode one, we did the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall, which is also a very fascinating and intriguing case of a possible ghost captured on film. What do you think of all these photographs? I mean, take a look at this one. What do you think? Does that look like a ghost to you, Lord Cumbermere?
Oh, damn. And how? What year is that?
1891.
Wow. Okay, so, yeah, that looks interesting.
All right, so let me give you the backstory. So real quick, this photograph of the Cumbermere Abbey Library was taken in 1891 by Sybil Corbet. The figure of a man can faintly be seen sitting in the chair to the left. His head, collar, and right arm on the armrest are clearly discernible. It is believed to be the ghost of Lord Cumbermere. Lord Cumbermere was a British cavalry commander in the early 1800s who distinguished himself in several military campaigns. Cumbermere Abbey, located in Cheshire, England, was founded by Benedictine monks in 1133. In 1540, King Henry VII kicked out the Benedictines, and the abbey later became the seat of Sir George Cotton, Vice Chamberlain to the household of Prince Edward, son of Henry VIII. In 1814, Sir Stapleton Cotton, a descendant of Sir George, took the title Lord Cumbermere, and in 1817 became the governor of Barbados. Today, the abbey is a tourist attraction and hotel. Lord Cumbermere died in 1891, having been struck and killed by a horse-drawn carriage. At the time, Sybil Corbet took the above photo. Cumbermere's funeral was taking place some 4 miles away. The photographic exposure Corbet recorded took about an hour. It is thought by some that during that time, a servant might have come into the room and sat briefly in the chair, creating the transparent image. This idea was refuted by members of the household, however, testifying that all were attending Lord Cumbermere's funeral. So this is from the official Cumbermere Abbey website. Halloween is right around the corner, which has got us sharing ghost stories here at Cumbermere Abbey. And nothing frightened us more than the story of a ghostly apparition right here at the Abbey. The second Lord Cumbermere passed away in 1891, and whilst his funeral was taking place on December 5th at St. Margaret's Church in Renbury, Sybil Corbet, whose sister, Lady Sutton, was renting the abbey for herself and her siblings to stay, took a photo of the wonderful Cumbermere Library with a long exposure camera. It is most likely that the photo was taken at this time due to the practicality of the quiet house. The whole family and the majority of the staff members were paying their respects at the funeral. Corbet recorded that the exposure of the photograph took around an hour, and when the photo was developed a year later, Sybil found a startling sight. There was a transparent image of a man's upper body sitting in one of the chairs in the library. Lord Cumbermere's children noted the apparition's likeness to their late father, and the chair the specter seems to be sitting in was indeed his favorite. Was the ghost of Lord Cumbermere settling down for some peace and quiet in his favorite spot in the library whilst his body was being buried 4 miles away? Some have tried to dispute the validity of the photograph, stating that due to the long exposure of the shot, a man sitting down for a moment and leaving again would produce a transparent figure, claiming that a servant could have walked in and sat down in the chair and swiftly left when he noticed that there was a photograph being taken. Always open to theories, Sybil noted that this could be a possibility. However, there were very few men in the house at the time, as most were attending the funeral, and the clothes worn by the men who were at the house looked vastly different to the outfit in the image. Some may wonder why it is only the body of Lord Cumbermere which can be seen sat in the chair. We've been thinking, and we believe the answer lies in the manner of Lord Cumbermere's death. Whilst visiting London, the second lord was run over by a horse-drawn carriage, causing serious injury to both of his legs. Although it looked as though he might recover, he suddenly passed a few weeks later. Could there be a link between the injury to Lord Cumbermere's legs and how his ghost appears to the living? What do you think?
So far it's interesting. Yeah, I think it's still being debated. I guess it is, but
I mean, most people think it was probably just. I'm gonna read an in-depth analysis from anomalyinfo.com, which is the best analysis I found on this photograph. But just right off the bat, looking at it, if some guy came and sat in the picture, why aren't his legs also visible?
I guess the way the lighting I don't know. Didn't come out.
I mean, that's a good point, because you can't really see his left arm. So you could only see the right arm and the head, a little bit of the torso. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. It seems like it doesn't quite add up. So what's your initial inclination? Legitimate or simply a double exposure of some
I'm
guy?
I'm thinking double exposure at this point.
All right, so let's go a little deeper and see if this really was a double exposure or not. So once again, this is from anomalyinfo.com. December 5th, 1891, Lord Cumbermere returns. Englishman Wellington Henry Stapleton Cotton, born 1818, the second Viscount Cumbermere, and so known most often as simply Lord Cumbermere, was 73 years old and visiting London when he was run over by a horse-drawn carriage, seriously injuring both of his legs. Nonetheless, he appeared to be recovering well 6 weeks later. He'd even started to walk about on his own again with the assistance of crutches. But on December 1st, 1891, a blood clot formed in his aged heart, and the sturdy old man passed away fairly suddenly. His funeral was held on Saturday, December 5th at St. Margaret's in the town of Renbury. His coffin arrived from London by an early train and was received by his son Robert, who was now the next Lord Cumbermere in the family. The late Lord Cumbermere was transported by hearse straight to the church, where a large crowd of sympathizers and friends had much earlier gathered out of respect for the dead man. The service was short, starting late at 2 o'clock after waiting for some prominent mourners to arrive, after which Lord Cumbermere's mortal remains were deposited into the family vault located in the church. On the same day, a woman named Sybil R. Corbet set up a long exposure camera to take a picture of the library of Cumbermere Abbey, located about 2 miles away from Renbury. The other article said 4 miles, but either way, more than a mile. The timing of the matter was practical. Very few people were in the house, so the photo should not have been disturbed if left for a long exposure. Miss Corbet was staying in Cumbermere Abbey with her brother and sisters. Her sister Constance, titled as Lady Sutton, was renting the abbey at the time. It wasn't until August of the following year, 8 months after Corbet's shot of the library had been taken, that she had a chance to develop the plate with the picture. And what it showed puzzled her. Specifically, she was surprised to see a semi-transparent figure sitting in the chair to the left of the picture. Miss Corbet showed the image to her sister, Mrs. Alice Rowley, who was so convinced that it looked like the deceased second Lord Cumbermere that Miss Corbet felt the need to check her diary notes regarding the shot, which confirmed she had taken it on the same day as the funeral, December 5th, 1891. You know, it's kind of interesting, time capsule. Back then, taking a photograph was a big enough deal that you'd make notes in a diary about it.
That's funny.
With further inquiry, she soon discovered that the delayed funeral service had in fact been held at the exact same time her shot of the library was being exposed. Still, she was not convinced that what she saw in the picture was indeed the ghost of the late Lord Cumbermere. And that's an interesting point, because this isn't some random lady out for attention, and the shot wasn't even exposed, wasn't even developed till 8 months later. And her first inclination wasn't to go, you know, to newspapers or make money or fame off any of this. She actually, the way she went about all this is fairly like a skeptic, right? So this was because when the photo was shown to a number of people who knew the aged lord well, and while some stated the image was obviously him, others felt there was no resemblance at all to the deceased man. So that's kind of strange, too. She's going around all these people who knew him, and some of them are saying it's definitely him, and others are saying it doesn't look anything like him. Isn't that kind of weird?
Some people filtered through difference. Some people filter through sameness.
Given the placement of the plant stand right where a face should be, and that what at first resembles an area for an eye or nose is actually just details of the woodwork on the chair, Miss Corbet held serious doubts that a positive identification could be made. At the same time, the clothing on the figure and suggestion of a bald head and light-colored beard didn't match any of the males in the household at the time, being her youngest brother, the butler, and two footmen, all four being young and beardless. That's a serious point against one of them wandering into the shot, right?
Yeah.
And yet, having a mysterious figure appear in a photo taken at the exact same time as the funeral was a highly strange coincidence if the two were not related. It was a curious matter, but it was largely kept out of the public eye. Only family and some friends were shown the photo and told the story. Until 1895. When both the photo and the account were published for a select few, a very select few. Who you gonna call? The 1895 publication was in the December volume of the Journal of the Society for Physical Research, which was and is a unique society founded in England by the philosopher William James that was concerned with the scientific investigation of claims of the fantastic. Claims such as photographing ghosts, for example. While this was apparently the first publication of the majority of the details regarding the matter, the journal itself was only made available to actual members of the society. In addition, to protect the Cumbermere family, Cumbermere Abbey was referred to as D. Hall, and Lord Cumbermere was given as Lord D. instead. A friend of Miss Corbet had contacted the SPR regarding the unusual photo and eventually put their investigator, a Professor Barrett, in contact with her. After getting the report above, Barrett asked Miss Corbet for a variety of details to clear up a few more possible points. The plate was one of a number of prepackaged dry photographic plates, which Corbet was sure had not been exposed previous to her use of it. In addition, at the time she was only doing shots of landscapes and scenery bereft of people, so she would not have accidentally photographed a person previous to using the plate herself. She was also quite sure she had not accidentally exposed the plate before it was in the proper place in the camera. While it was possible that a figure had been partially exposed on the plate previous to Corbet receiving it, the odds against such a figure lining up with a piece of furniture not yet photographed would be almost as astounding as photographing a ghost to begin with. So this was not considered a likely possible explanation. Miss Corbet and her sisters had set up the camera when all had gone out of the house, returning later to retrieve the shot. But as noted, the figure didn't resemble her brother, who vowed he had not entered the library, nor the butler or footman. So they actually said they didn't go in the library. That's interesting. Corbet could only guess that perhaps a stranger had visited the house and entered the room, though the butler said no one had. It had been 8 months before she asked. Still, why would most of the figure be missing? Here's another thing, though. If you're a stranger, whether you're a burglar or just some random guy, are you just going to wander in a library without even picking a book up, sit in a chair, do nothing, and then just stand up and leave? Like, if you want to check out the cool library, I mean, you'd probably browse around. Why would you just sit in the chair and stare at a camera?
Well, I don't think he's stared at a camera, but I've done that before where I walk in and I needed to rest and I just sat down.
You went into somebody's private manor and
Well, not a private manor, but like at a library, I'm too tired and I need to get quiet because I've been around.
This wasn't a public library. This is a library in an estate.
Oh, this is like his private library?
Yeah, it's like in a mansion, yeah. So you'd have to walk kind of far off the street.
And they said there were no, supposedly the servicemen or whatever they're called, were wearing the same, were wearing different clothes so they couldn't be them, right?
And they were young and with beards. And they said they didn't go in the room.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I'm thinking if you just, yeah, it is pretty strange. It's pretty strange. Professor Barrett had an idea about that last point and arranged some experiments with a Mr. Gordon Salt. They took several photographs of a chair with a similar long exposure setup to what Miss Corbet used. During the exposure, one of the two men sat in the chair for a short time but kept their legs moving. The resulting photograph was extremely revealing. So a person entering the room and sitting in the chair could have produced the figure in the Combermere photo. Barrett theorized that one of the men entered, sat, crossed their legs, noticed they were on camera, and vacated, but not before the light from the window had created an image of the man's upper body in the chair. Because the man was moving, his head would likely have been caught in a few differing positions, including looking at the camera, which would create a light patch as one side of the face was lit by the window, and all of these face impressions would blend to create the apparently bald head and hint of a light beard. The whimsies of time. It seems it wasn't long before the identity of the ghost was exposed, despite Barrett's use of Lord D and D. Hall in an attempt to hide the original connection. Perhaps some of the friends and family who already knew the story passed it on. In 1898, 3 years after the SPR article, this short article appeared in a wide variety of popular English magazines. A stranger story still, and one that has not yet, I believe, appeared in print, is that where quite recently a lady took an amateur photograph of the drawing room of a house once inhabited by the late Lord Combermere at Brighton, I think it was. The lady in question saw, to her horror and astonishment, visible on the plate, the ghost of an old peer, a tall man with rather stout face and a mustache, reproduced sitting in one of the easy chairs of this drawing room, though not apparent to the naked eye. Not surprisingly, nothing stops a good story. Ever since that time, the major public version of the Combermere photo story has been essentially variations on this one paragraph. Ironically, Professor Barrett's experiments have been repeated many times since to demonstrate again and again the picture's likely mundane origins, often by new researchers who had no idea that anyone before them had already shown how to imitate the photo. Of course, just because a way was demonstrated that a figure could be introduced, that doesn't necessarily mean one was. One point has never been addressed and likely never can be. Miss Sybil Corbet was intrigued that the clothing on the figure didn't appear to match the clothing worn by the four men in the house on the day the picture was taken. Specifically, the white collar was not something the younger men would have worn, but that would have been common for an older man. So was the white collar produced by a moving figure, or was it a clothing item the figure wore? In any case, real ghost or accidental one, the sheer timing of the figure appearing in a photo taken during Lord Combermere's funeral has got to be one of the most extraordinary coincidences ever recorded. You know what's, this whole case is kind of weird. Supposedly, some people who knew Lord Combermere, supposedly they said he was wearing something around his neck that was unique to what he wore. I can't really tell from the photo, though. What do you think?
I don't know. It looks like the way he's dressed, it looks like a high class type person.
Would that type of person just randomly wander into someone else's home, sit down and leave? Because the woman who took the photograph, I mean, she went in and out of the room, but I mean, she wasn't gone for more than an hour. So would a random man like that come sit in a library randomly and leave?
I don't know. Possibly.
You think so?
It's possible. I don't know. That's a big library. Look at all those books.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool looking library.
Damn, that's like 12 feet up, 15 feet up, all the books. That's crazy.
So check out Look.
That's a weird looking hand. I'm looking at his hand. It looks like a freaking squirrel.
Look at Combermere Abbey. Just look up Combermere Abbey so you can see on the map what kind of an estate it was. It was absolutely gigantic. So if there were only a couple of younger guys there, I mean, this thing has what looks like a moat, or it's like on a river. I mean, in order to wander into that place, you'd have to walk pretty far. I don't know. It's weird. Unless you think she's lying and the men in the house are lying, which is possible, of course. But what would be the point of the hoax? Because it's kind of like, they never did anything with it. They didn't even want it to go public. So that's intriguing as well, because it's not like they wanted it to go public and trick people.
How long did they publish this? How long did it take to publish it?
Well, it took about 8 months. It was developed 8 months later, and it was kept hush-hush for years. So it's not like they wanted to put this hoax out. But if you look at the map, it's, like I said, it's not exactly in the middle of a city. It's an estate. So we're not talking like a little apartment on a London street. I mean, this is a big estate. You'd have to, I mean,
holy crap, that's a nice freaking place.
Yeah, well, that's why the library looks like that. That's not, you know, that's not a modest, yeah. That's not a little modest. I mean, this place is a gigantic mansion.
Damn, that's bigger than, that's like five Playboy mansions.
So what do you think? Like, somebody just randomly wandered in there, or are the four guys lying? But if they weren't wearing what the guy's wearing, I mean, how do we make sense of this?
Yeah, it's messed up. Maybe, all right, I get it. Maybe one of the guys went into his wardrobe, wore it, and tried to fantasize about what it would feel like to be Lord whatever Corbomir.
Oh, so he was just he was just playing out a weird fantasy, not trying to hoax a ghost photograph. And when he saw the camera, that actually makes more sense. But why does he appear bald?
Maybe there was some kind of wig or some shit.
But being bald is the opposite of having a wig.
Yeah, I know, but like maybe there's some kind of costume or something, like a Halloween costume or...
In the 1890s, a skull cap?
Yeah, skull cap or something. Or maybe he found like some way to fantasize about like living what it's like. I don't know. Or maybe he shaved his head.
What? No,
it could be anything. I don't know.
Well, obviously she would have noticed, Miss Corbet would have noticed if somebody just randomly had a shaved. But it doesn't look like his head is all the way shaved. It looks like he has short hair, balding. That definitely looks like a beard though. I mean, look at his chin. There's definitely texture there. That can't just be light. It looks like substantial texture of hair.
Yeah.
And also, I think he was more of a heavyset guy. I'm not sure. But if you look at the torso, it looks like he could be, you know, a bigger guy as opposed to... It would be interesting to hear the four guys that were in the house. If they were all working and young, they probably weren't that heavyset if they had to run around all the time. I don't know. That would also be interesting. But like I said, the nature of this house, it's not like it was on a highly populated city street where anybody could have wandered in. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes it strange. It's very, very strange. But the story gets stranger still because Lord Combermere is actually connected to another well-known paranormal story, the famous Moving Coffins of Barbados. The coffins inside the sealed vault of the Chase family are said to have been moved about by unnatural forces. The heavy coffins were repeatedly put in proper order, but often when a new coffin was added to the vault, the coffins were found strewn about. Lord Combermere, while governor of Barbados, had ordered a professional investigation of the mystery. Have you heard of these moving coffins of Barbados?
No, I have not, but I don't, yeah.
So Lord Cumbermere was actually the governor of Barbados who happened to order the investigation of paranormal activity in this vault. Do you find that interesting? Is that a coincidence that he was involved in another paranormal case?
Yeah.
So, final thoughts on the Cumbermere picture, the photograph. Is this a ghost? Does this have anything to do with Barbados and the moving coffin story? Is there a connection? No connection? Is the picture legitimate? Not legitimate? What do you think?
Double exposure by some dude who wanted to fantasize to be Carbomir, and then the coffins has nothing to do with what the ghost pictures are.
All right, so there you have Maxwell's interpretation of the events. I invite the listeners themselves to draw their own conclusions based on the available information. I don't know if I could go one way or another. The things that don't add up is if it's not one of the four young men, then is it likely that a random person? I mean, I agree with you, Maxwell, that I think it's more likely that one of the young men wanted to fantasize about being this rich guy. And although I don't know, yeah, I mean, if it was one of the workers and wore his clothes and then didn't want anybody to know about it, but I mean, wouldn't they get fired if they got caught by the lady? That seems kind of risky.
Yeah, I guess.
Especially if they were working and they had work to do. I don't know. I don't know how likely any of that is. I'm not saying it was a ghost. I'm just looking for other possible explanations. I mean, I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility that some random guy was just walking around and he saw the mansion. He was like, "Ooh, that looks like a cool library. Oh, this is a looks like a really
You
nice
still are?
chair. Let me sit in it for a second." Yeah, so I don't think it's likely that some random guy just wandered up to the mansion from far away. But I mean, it could be possible. So I don't know. It seems like there's no real good explanation in any direction, really.
Yeah.
If somebody can make a positive idea on Cumbermere in the chair, what would you say if all of the family members happened to agree that it was him?
I don't know. Wait, what was the outcome of that? Did they or did they not?
She said apparently when they asked people who knew him, about half of them said it was him, and half of them said it looked nothing like him. So it seemed like there wasn't really anybody who was saying, "Oh, maybe that's him, I can't tell." It seemed like it was evenly divided with, "That's definitely him," and "That's definitely not him," which is weird, but.
Actually, maybe we should look at his actual picture, and I can look at it and see if it is it resembles.
There aren't really any.
Oh, really? There's none of him? Like,
Yeah,
was
this
he?
is Wellington Henry Stapleton Cotton.
Like famous and shit?
I mean, we're talking a long time ago. We're talking 1800s here. And
I
he
see.
wasn't like the king who had his portrait taken.
I mean, there's gotta be like artists that was good enough to, you know, like you, if you have a mansion the size of five Playboy mansions, I think you should be able to afford some artist to draw your portrait.
Found one. Wow. Yeah, there's an e there. Wow. All right, that's him.
I see it.
It looks like his, well, it's obviously this wasn't taken right when he died. This was, if this was 1880, I mean, this is more than 10 years before he died. So his beard could be slightly shorter, but it seems like he has the right body type. And if he was balding, I don't know why people were saying it couldn't be him. I think the answer would be I can't tell. I think that's the best answer. But from his torso, it definitely looks like he's not a super skinny guy. And I think that's the key here. That could be the key here. Because what are the chances that a portly gentleman like himself, who was balding with a beard and distinguishedly dressed in kind of old people clothes, as opposed to the young guys who were at the house? What do you think now, Maxwell?
Yeah, it's not bad. We need to see. We need to find out or see some like modern pictures, like digital ones.
What do you mean?
I mean, like of ghost stories or ghost phenomena.
Yeah, we will, but this episode is about Lord Cumbermere and some of the best examples of historical photographs possibly depicting ghosts throughout history. So I think it's unlikely that an older gentleman would be randomly wandering the roads and just wander in. I mean, I suppose if it, it's just, I don't know. If it was younger, if he was younger, it'd be so much easier to explain away because the guys in the house were younger. A younger guy is much rather to be some kind of robber or criminal or just random vagrant. Although if he's dressed well, even still, a younger guy is more likely to be some kind of troublemaker that might break into a house and sit in the library. Or you could argue if it was some kind of old guy with dementia or Alzheimer's, some old rich guy wandering around and he thought it was his house when it wasn't. And somehow nobody saw him. That's the other thing. Like, it would have had to be, nobody would have had to seen him. So very, very mysterious case that definitely has more questions than answers. We hope you enjoyed another episode of the Mind Shock Podcast. If you like our podcast, you can donate to our PayPal. Just check the link in the description. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. If you like the video, hit the like button. Feel free to share it across social media platforms. Any questions, comments, or requests for other cases, leave them in the comments section. And make sure you like our Facebook page. You can also check us out on Twitter, Reddit, and Patreon. This is Bruce McGuire signing off.
And Maxwell Powers.
Have a good night.